Hey, cool people, it's Crystal. This episode of the Coolest People in the World podcast is sponsored by Loving Life Boutique. Be sure to check out lovinglifeboutique.com or download the Loving Life Boutique app for a truly size-inclusive women's shopping experience. Use code KJB20 for 20% off your first order at lovinglifeboutique.com. Don't forget to look for Loving Life Boutique on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Happy shopping and enjoy the show.
You've just landed on the Coolest People in the World podcast, a show that features stories of cool people doing really cool things, from business, art, and travel to lifestyle, mental health and family, and everything in between. Join host Crystal J. Bailey as she introduces you to some of the coolest people in the world. Here's Crystal.
Welcome back to the Coolest People in the World podcast. I'm your host, Crystal J. Bailey, and as usual, I am here with another exciting friend, Master Jose Torres. We have a superstar in the house. I met Jose when he was telling me of his dreams to star in a movie and some things that were beginning to unfold for his life, and we'll get into his backstory, but he just starred in a movie that just came out, Killer X. Yep. Want to tell us a little bit about this movie just to kick off the show?
Yeah, absolutely. Had a crazy opportunity, and yes, Crystal talked about it. I think it was about a year ago that
about
we met.
A year ago.
She is a phenomenal writer as well. I know she's being humble right now, but phenomenal writer. She had one of her articles in a magazine that I produced, Arts Experience, and I think that was our connection.
Yeah.
We had to meet a couple times. You know, we had talked about these different projects and things that I was going to do, and it was crazy. I got the opportunity to go out to California and meet a director that was casting for a new film. And they were specifically looking for kind of a Latino and martial artist. I was actually referred to the director from a gentleman, William Christopher Ford. Mm-hmm. William Christopher Ford's part of the Karate Kid franchise. He played one of the bad guys, Dennis, in Karate Kid 3. He's a good friend of mine. He basically hooked me up with the opportunity to meet this director, and I got to meet him, Jim Towns, wonderful man. I think he's just got a new film coming out through Lionsgate, which is a very big distribution company. He's got a film, I think, on Hulu and some other things, but it was about this film called Killer X. Mm-hmm. And Killer X told the story of a retired assassin who's been out of the business for 15 years and is a married coach, mm-hmm. and karate guy, like a local guy, family guy now. You know, he's not a killer anymore. Right. But his ex-girlfriend from his past comes back to his life because she's supposed to go on a mission. She doesn't end up doing it. And then she goes on the run. So it's always the exes. So watch your exes. That's the most important thing. Always watch your exes. But
let's go back and talk a little bit about who you are. So tell me where you come from.
So obviously based out of New Jersey, got married in November 2001, so almost coming up on 24 years, which is crazy. Thank you. I have three boys. I have a 24-year-old, I have a 19-year-old, and I have a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I share that with you guys because I take a lot of my inspiration and things that I do from, you know, my family.
Yeah.
I'm a soccer coach at the travel level, like in my community, but I'm also a college soccer coach as well, assistant men's coach at Bucks County Community College. So it was funny when these details kind of came up through the movie, right. Because I'm like, wait a second, this is big.
That's you. That's
like,
what I'm
no
thinking.
No problem. Like, this is easy. I was never an assassin before.
Right. Well,
else.
As long as
we know. Yeah, exactly. It really created an opportunity. Yes, I was acting, but I really was like embracing it. Like, I was like, oh my God, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know? Like I said, so Jim Towns directed and he also wrote the script. And I swear he tailored this character kind of like around me, you know? And I got to play myself and kind of relate to being a dad. Really cool things. I got to get my boys in the movie as well.
Oh, wow.
I was able to kind of navigate and make some things happen. My older son actually is in it. He plays a bad guy. My middle son has literally a cameo for like 3 seconds. He's a college soccer player at Ursinus. So he didn't get an opportunity to really do filming because he was doing preseason. It was funny because they were originally going to cast a young boy to be my son in the movie Max, but they wanted him to do martial arts. And I was like, wait a second, my real son, who's 12, can do martial arts. And right. I think he looks okay, so let's give him a chance. And he ended up doing well.
Oh, yeah. He plays your son? That's
he plays amazing. My real son in the movie. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
that's
which is hilarious. All the quirky 12-year-old idiosyncrasies and actions that kids do, he's really not acting. Like, that's normal.
That's how he is.
Yeah. When kids don't listen to him, they're like, yeah, dad, whatever.
Right.
Like, he says that in the movie, and I'm literally, like, laughing because I'm like, he's not acting.
This is our relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
So how much of yourself did you see in that character then, too? Was it pretty easy to step into that role?
Yeah. To play Victor. So I play Victor Reyes. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. Like, it was such a surreal experience to be my first role, you know, and it wasn't like I was playing 1892 Revolution. Like, you know what I mean? It was nothing like that. It was really, I got to be this character that it's funny because I got to do another interview a couple months ago. The characteristics of Victor Reyes, I think, like all men have, you know what I mean? You know, they're walking their line, they're trying to support their family, they're trying to do this, but things come around, you know, and you have to make these decisions.
Absolutely.
But the character Victor Reyes kind of walks a very altruistic path. Mm-hmm. He wants to protect his family, but he still cares about this lady that was part of his life before, you know, but he stays true to his wife and everything else. And, you know, and that's some write-ups that we talked about. You know, I think it's a really good film. Like, we really, really lucked out. But again, you know, kind of going back to who I was and experiences, I was able to kind of bring that into the film.
Right. So we didn't talk about the karate part of your life. So,
right.
This is even kind of a secondary dream to the dream to the dream, because you were a karate. Talk to me about karate first. Okay. When did that begin in your life?
So I started that when I was 5 years old. I think I was like running around the house and jumping off chairs, and my mom was like afraid that I was going to break something. So she signed me up for like local karate school, and I kept training. I stayed at this one karate school in Burlington County called Hamilton's Karate. Master William Hamilton was my instructor, Korean stylist. It's called Tong Sudo Korean Karate. Chuck Norris is very famous for doing that.
My son did it.
I did that for about 20 years, and then I went on to college and I competed at Penn State University, and they had a Taekwondo team, a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So I practiced Taekwondo. I had my black belt in that as well. And then when I graduated, I ended up opening my own school. So I've been in business. We opened up in 2000. Actually, this April 24th, we celebrate 24 years of business. Oh,
and marriage.
And marriage. Is that crazy?
Yeah. A good year for you.
Yeah. Very big year. Very big year.
So you are, what's your accolades in karate? Grandmaster Jose Torres, as far as I got.
You know what? It's so funny because I know, like, you know, in martial arts, a lot of it is, and probably people hate me for saying it, it's like so much ego because, like, you know, it's who's the best fighter and who's this and who's that. And, you know, I think when I was younger, I was really like, you know, into that. And that's what everybody is. Like, oh, I got to have this. I got to do this. Mm-hmm. But like, I try to really boast now about my students and what they do. You know what I mean? And am I producing good human beings? Am I producing good, you know, citizens, people that can contribute? And that's probably my biggest reward of doing this. But yes, I am. So I recently got promoted in Korea last summer. I got my 9th degree black belt. So I've been doing it for a while.
Still worth celebrating. I respect that feeling. And that's the legacy that we talk. I talk a lot about legacy on the show, and that's who's still talking about you. Like you said, your teacher was. You still talk about your teacher, and then they're gonna still be talking about you. And then someone will become a karate master from that you brought up. So still worth being proud of.
Yeah,
someone
absolutely.
Around there saying my teacher is a 9th degree black belt.
Yeah.
So where did coaching fit in that?
I played sports when I was in my youth and in high school. I tried to unsuccessfully play in college, and but I learned a lot. I learned a lot from the process. I did got more involved with Taekwondo when I was on the team. And then when I was a young dad, I wanted to be part of my kid's life and my son's life. And it was funny because I was always on the sideline watching. And then it was at a certain point that I was like, you know what? I think I can do a little bit better. I can't complain. Because I feel like as parents sometimes, we complain. There's, this coach is bad or this person does this. But we'll never like step up and do it.
Right.
So I didn't want to be that guy. So I said, all right, let me be the other guy. That's like, oh, I volunteer. I'll coach. I'll do this. So I took it as an opportunity to be with my boys and kind of be that figure for them. And then it just manifested. I've coached every boy and thousand other boys and, you know, girls or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I coach soccer, basketball. Now I got suckered into doing flag football. So I have to be a flag football coach in about 2 weeks. So.
Next you'll be playing a flag football coach on stage.
That's right.
How has it been since it came out? Talk to me a little bit about that. And then where is it going? What can you expect? Where can they see it?
Yeah, it is an independent film. So, you know, it's not a Marvel $400 million budget. I think it's going to visually look like it's $1 million project, but crazy thing is really kind of reverse engineering how these things are happening. We did a screener on February 22nd, and it was kind of like a friends and family kind of VIP thing. And the craziest thing was we booked the movie theater for like 150 tickets, and then we sold out, and then we had to add another theater. So then they gave us the bigger one for $288, and then we sold that. Then they had to give another one. So then the general manager calls me. He's like, Jose, what's going on? Like, what are we doing? So finally, we had to sell out the 381-seat theater, and then they gave us another one, and we sold that out. So we sold a total of 514 tickets to come to an independent film. They said they've never seen anything like that. I mean, I was so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I mean, just the support and the love, and it was everybody. Like, it was like, you know, people that maybe, you know, were my senior, they're like 7 years old and they were coming to see the movie and they were just excited.
Yeah.
And then there was kids that came. Really powerful moment. Honestly, it's so hard to describe that. But it was cool.
To see you have talked about it. Like, that's what's so cool. That's the smile on my face right now. It's like, I heard you talk about this when it was just in like the baby stages, barely coming to fruition.
Yeah.
And you were like, hey, I might need a press release.
And you helped me with a press release.
When you are in those Marvel films, I'll be like, I wrote this press release.
So basically, we did the first premiere. We got the attention of the Regal. And what we did was we ended up signing kind of like a 10 movie theater contract type thing to do these screeners.
Okay.
Again, kind of reverse engineering. So like if everybody remembers Barnum and Bailey Circus and we go to different cities. So we're going to take Killer X. And we're taking it to 10 different cities.
Okay.
So the next city is April 19th. That's in New York, Pennsylvania. That we're going to be doing, bringing it back to my hometown of Burlington, New Jersey, Regal. That's on the 26th.
That's where I'm coming.
Okay. And then May 31st, we're moving into Delaware. And then in June, we're going to be back in Reading, Pennsylvania. And that kind of fills out our first four going into the summer. And then the crazy thing is we're working, and then we just signed. We're going to be doing two overseas premieres. We're going to be doing one premiere in Trinidad and Tobago over the summer.
Nice.
And then November 7th, Friday, we're going to be doing the European premiere at the Kino Theater in the Netherlands, which is crazy. Yeah,
that's
so crazy. So
don't tempt me with a birthday trip, because that's my birthday.
So we have that set up, and then we are very excited. So there's certain things I can allude to, but I can't. So May 21st, we have a very big press release and some things coming out. But we just signed a distribution deal. The movie will become available after May 21st. But I can't tell you yet which platforms, because that'll spoil the whole thing.
Got it.
But it is coming out. We're really, really excited about that. And it's just such a dream come true, because we never thought, you know, first movie out would even get distributed. I mean, who am I? I'm nobody. You know what I mean? But apparently somebody thought, yeah, somebody likes this movie. But I really think it's a good movie. Like, it's got some really cool parts. Kids can watch it. It didn't get official a rating, again, because it's independent. But it would be like a PG-13.
Okay.
But it's only PG-13 because there's some curse words and there's some blood.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a good film. Like, I really think it's a good film. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't wait to see it. So talk to me about your co-stars, because those are some legends, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, first of all, I got to give props to my leading lady, which is Elena Chernova. So Elena has been in the film industry for probably close to like 15 to 20 years, but she's a stunt woman.
Okay.
She's done a lot of stunts, so this is kind of like her first lead. And she plays the Russian ex-girlfriend. She was phenomenal to work with. Like, I always give kudos to her, because this is the first time I did this. So, like, I am a cocky and confident guy, but I'm still nervous about acting.
It's a new platform.
Yeah, new platform. And I don't want to make anybody else look bad. So she's based out of California. Mm-hmm. And we did Zoom reads, table reads, literally once a week for probably a couple months to build that rapport, you know, between us. So Elena was awesome. My movie wife is a woman by the name of Jessie Gruver. She's based out of Philadelphia. She does a lot of theater. She was great to work with. Our bad female character is a woman by the name of Amanda Schnover. And Amanda just got done doing Candy Cane Lane mm-hmm. on Netflix with Eddie Murphy.
Oh.
So she's actually big time. So
okay.
Amanda,
all right, Amanda.
Look Amanda's up. Yeah, yeah, Amanda's good.
We watched that. I like that movie.
Yeah, yeah, she was in that. She had one of the parts in it. She was one of the office workers. But she was great to work with. I didn't have any scenes with her, mm-hmm. unfortunately, but she was part of it, so which was cool. Now, on the martial arts side, actor side, is what everybody wants to hear about, is we had some really, really cool bad guys.
Okay.
Basically, three of the bad guys that we were able to work with. One is William Christopher Ford, my buddy. He plays Joe Gondo, the drunk swordsman. So he's part of it. He has a great look, long hair. Like, I think people are going to love him. We then were able to get a character named Gerald Okamura as his real name. And he plays my boss, like the person that got me into the assassin business. He's an icon. He's been in G.I. Joe. He's been in Big Trouble Little China. It was like his big thing. He played the guy with the guns. He played in Just Kicking It, the Disney show.
Okay.
So he's been around.
Yeah.
He's definitely been around. Like, storied 40-year career. Probably 200 films.
I'm going to look up all these films.
Yeah, yeah. Gerald Overmore. And then the big one that we were able to get for my karate fans is everybody knows who Jean-Claude Van Damme is.
Mm-hmm.
One of Jean-Claude's famous movies was a movie, Kickboxer. And Kickboxer, he fought this character, Tong Po, who was this guy, kind of looked Asian. He had the bald head with the ponytail. His real name is Muhammad Kesey. So I befriended Muhammad about 2 years ago, and we were able to cast Muhammad part of this. So he's like the main bad guy that I fight, which is like amazing.
So let's take it back to that first meeting, because that's who you were like geeked over when
you
first met.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was it like to work with him?
Oh my God. Muhammad was such a pro. So like, from a martial arts standpoint and being a martial arts geek, I'm a fan of Van Damme. Van Damme was like my Bruce Lee, right?
Okay.
Bruce was in the 70s. I was much younger then. But like, Jean-Claude Van Damme was like my superhero guy, you know? So like, I wanted to be him. I wanted to do everything him. So now to be able to do a fight scene with his main bad guy was like legit. Like, I'm like, oh, wow. Like,
right.
Like, now big time, you know what I mean? But Muhammad is probably one of the sweetest guys you'll ever meet. So humble. And this is a guy that's been, like, he did Kickboxer with Van Damme. He did Lionheart with Van Damme. And he did Bloodsport. He's big, you know?
Yeah.
And he was so awesome to work with. Just such a pro. Like, that's what I could say. Like, the way he moves, the way he acts, the way that he supports. And, you know, I remember we were doing a scene. I'll tell a funny story. You know, we were using weapons, so there were certain things like this machete, and not to give away too much, but, you know, it was a specific scene that I'm supposed to strike or whatever, so there's real ones and fake ones, but you know, he didn't do anything halfway. Like, everything was full speed, full power. And I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, right. It was really, it was cool. It was honestly cool and humbling. But to have that as, like, my first movie, my first experience was surreal.
That's really neat. I'm so glad you had that experience. Yeah, that is what, and that's what I, like, hope this podcast becomes for people, is to see that regular people can chase these dreams and make them become a reality. When I first brainstormed who I wanted on my show, you were top of the list because you are the epitome of that. I had a dream. I wanted to do something. I went out. I found the resources. And now here I am and I did it.
That's it. Yep.
Kudos to that.
Thank you.
So, what other film, are you starring in other films? Are you looking to star in other films? Like, what's next for you?
I am working on I'm actually flying out tomorrow to Atlanta for a project I cannot disclose, but it's definitely a big one. A lot of people know it. Just hoping that my scenes make it, I don't get cut. but it was a really cool thing to do. And then our game plan is to do Killer X 2. Mm-hmm. Hopefully start that in 2025, pre-production. Getting casting and stuff like that. And then there's a couple other companies that I'm going to work with. There's a company out of North Jersey called Bold Media. Bill and Darren, they're owners of that company, and we're going to be doing a partnership to do like this short film. So there's a couple projects that are coming up. So I have a feature and a short film coming up, and then this Netflix series. Like I said, I can't say anything, but
we're
working on it. No, not really.
Oh, okay.
Because there's like 500 of them. So
we won't know which one it is.
We won't know what it is. But like I said, hopefully they'll cut my season. But we'll see. But staying busy and still running my karate school and getting ready. We have a big tournament coming up in Atlantic City that I host at the Sheraton. May 24th, 25th. So still staying busy, trying to,
Good. All the things, all the multidimensional things that we are, which leads me to the question I ask everybody.
Okay.
When do you feel like the coolest person in the world?
I think that's such a hard question and a humbling question, right? Because it's like, it's this process that I'm going through right now has been so surreal that I haven't really been able to wow, I did it. We're I'm not there yet. I'm honestly not there yet because I feel like we're still going through the process, Now, once, I get to see it maybe on a streaming service or a DVD or something like that, I think that'll kind of put everything together. Yeah. Like, hey, we did it. And I can probably say yes, It's just surreal. It's really real to really say that. I'm just blessed to even have the opportunity, because there's just so many people that have dreams or aspirations. And I think at times, especially if we're older, because I'm not 20 years old, we don't pursue our dreams, what I mean? And I feel like you have to push and you have to be your biggest advocate. And I think that, we always have to push and never give up. So, I feel like I still got a lot of work to do.
You don't feel cool? Because
I don't know if I'm deserving to say that I feel cool.
Absolutely are. You're on the show.
There you go. That's true.
All right, let me ask you the better question then. How do your kids feel about everything? They're just starting a movie. They gotta think you're at least a little bit cool.
Yeah, so I do have to admit, so it's funny, my oldest son Ryan, he always teases me. He kinda keeps me grounded. My middle son is he's very supportive, but he's at college, so I don't get to see him all the time. And Mason, I'll tell you two quick stories, is that my youngest, he was very anti-movie. He really was. He didn't want to do it. He was like, oh, I don't want to do this and that. However, when we sold the 500 tickets, some of his classmates came. So now he has instant street cred.
Yeah.
So now everybody's like, whoa, Mason's in a movie. So now Mason's cool.
That's his cool moment.
So now Mason's like, Dad, I need the link for the tickets because I have to send it to this person. I'm like, wait a second, I thought you didn't want to do it. That made me feel better. But it was funny because my oldest son told me, it was probably about 2 weeks ago, he pulled me to the side. It was a really hard thing. And I share this not to sound corny or anything, but he was like, Dad, I'm really proud of you. He's like, I can't, this is amazing. And to hear that from a child tell you that, because I think as parents, we're proud of them. We always, try to put it, but to have, my eldest son kind of recognize what I'm trying to do is very powerful, and that meant the most to me.
That's your moment. That's your coolest person in the world moment. That's the point of this show, is not that you've done the coolest, biggest, most grandest thing in the world, but that you are making your dreams come true. Your kids are watching you. We're recording this while my teenager's on quality control, making sure that things are working properly.
You have a wonderful team, by the way. Wonderful team.
Thank you.
It's amazing. She does five jobs.
That, to me, is the most important work. Bridging worlds between people doing important work. Giving people hope to say, I want to be a movie star. I want to start karate, or I want to take this journey. you're doing that and you're showing it to your kids and you're showing it to your students and you're showing it. You people like you keep people like me going. So I need you to think you're cool so I can keep thinking I'm cool.
Gotcha,
okay?
Gotcha.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you really want to share? Something even really that has nothing to do with any of this that you did in life that's super cool?
It's just funny how, you know, as a kid, I would watch karate movies and I would watch stuff and I would say, man, maybe one day, you know, and then to get to the point where it's like, hey, I have this opportunity now, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And then to actually say, hey, I did it.
Yeah.
That's just a full circle thing that is a blessing. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, wow, you know, it's that wow moment.
Yeah.
And that's something special. So, you know, my biggest thing to the viewers is just like, if you ever want to do something, whether you want to be, you know, the best chef, you want to be the best this, you want to be the best that, like, go after it. Like, you just have to go after it and grind for it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be so many people that are going to tell you no. There's going to be people that are going to, they're going to doubt you. They're going to, you know, they're going to sway you. They're going to say, oh, don't do this. Or, hey, you know, you're in your mid-40s. What are you thinking?
Right.
You know? And it's funny because I'll share this with you is when we were talking to the director, I hadn't done any movies. You know, I wasn't Tom Cruise. I'm not Leonardo DiCaprio. But I tried to put all these things together. And I'm a big Liam Neeson fan. Liam has Taken and all these other films, but he's an older guy. He's an older guy and he plays an action guy. You know, Denzel's doing that now as well. But it was funny because Liam's doing like 20 movies, you know, all these different action movies, and he's over the age of like 60, you know? So I basically sold myself to the guy and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to be your Puerto Rican Liam Neeson. And he started laughing.
I said,
that's what I'm going to try to do. So we started talking, you know, that was my insight.
I see it though. Like, it's not that far off. I can see where you're going with that thought.
Yeah,
so
it
works. So. And I remember when you told me about the role originally, I was like, I felt the same way hearing it now. Like, that fits, that works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go get that. That's dope for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So now it's cool. We're going to try to do, like, some of the other projects I have. They're going to be a little bit different roles, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to be playing a bad guy in something, so.
Thank you so much for being on the
absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time.
Where can people follow you?
Obviously, now over 40, and I know us over 40 people, 50 people are kind of, like, nervous with social media, but I'm on Facebook. I actually have a verified account now.
So I saw you changed your name.
I changed, yeah, because I used to do it under my karate school.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a karate school account. So one of the other guys in the industry were like, hey, Jose, like, you need to do this. You can follow me on Facebook. It's under Jose Luis Torres II, my full name. And I did that because there's a lot of Jose Torres's.
Yeah.
That's what my IMDb page is under. I have an IMDb page. If you can, please click on that. That obviously
helps.
I'll
put it in the show description.
Thank you. And then I'm on Instagram under Master Jose Torres. We have a Killer X movie page as well. And then I have a TikTok page, and that's under the movie as well, which is a Killer X. So you'll see if you subscribe to any of those, you know, just click on them. You'll be able to stay in tune with all the messages, all the events we have coming up. Like I said, the 19th is our next one. And then that Saturday, April 20th, we're working with another master in New York, Matt Trimmer. And he's hosting me for a cinema combat seminar. So I'm going to be teaching how to do reactions and punching and stuff like that for anybody that's interested in getting involved. Yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
And then we're going to do a little casting. So I'm trying to find talent. You know, I want to be able to give.
Racially ambiguous woman.
There you go. You better come then on the 20th. Absolutely.
That's all I'm going to pitch myself. That's bald, racially ambiguous woman.
Gotcha. I love it. It's great. But we're doing this seminar, and then right after the seminar, we're going to do a casting.
Okay.
Where people can kind of bring their picture, they can show some routines and stuff like that.
Okay.
So trying to give back to the community as well and, you know, seeing what we can do. So
where do people find that on the TikTok?
So yeah, the best thing I would say is look for me on Facebook, which is the Jose Luis Torres II on Facebook. And then you can also look up Killer X.
Right.
And that'll be on various platforms. And then also our production thing that we're kind of moving forward with is the Martial Arts Experience.
Okay.
That's my podcast, but that also does all my entertainment stuff. So if you look for the Martial Arts Experience, and that's with an X, not an EX. We took the E out for branding.
Yeah.
So it's XB, but look over us on there and you'll be able to get in tune with all of our information and events that we have coming up.
Which I was in there. I have to find that edition
right.
that I was in.
Yes,
I wrote
yes.
an article about bullying that
yes,
was featured in
that's right.
Article.
That was our first, I think that was our first issue that came out
yeah.
that you wrote for. Yeah.
I need a copy from you.
We'll have to get
it. All right. Thank you again, Jose, for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys, for listening. Make sure to like, subscribe, share, and send it across the internet. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the Coolest People in the World podcast with Crystal J. Bailey on the new Pod City Podcast Network. Visit us online today at thecoolestpeoplepodcast.com.